Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
We're continuing to talk about foundations. And as I was in the back room praying, I was thinking to myself, and I have been thinking, is this getting a little old, God? Are we repeating ourselves a little bit? Well, are we? Am I repeating myself too much? People getting bored with the subject. And yet, as I was preparing this morning's message during the week, I didn't feel as though we were repeating it enough. So in the back room as we were praying, God gave me a picture that, you know, we march at the speed of the slowest person so that everybody stays together. And I believe that the reason that God, and I say God because I do believe it is God, Holy Spirit, leading me in what I'm choosing to preach, that I continue to reiterate things in a different way so that everybody gets where we're going. Because I do believe that what God is doing at the moment is He's not only laying the true foundation in our own lives, but He's relaying the foundation of this church for what He wants to do as we move into another phase. And I believe that we are moving into another phase. I believe that God is doing a few things in this place, in all of us. And so, if I'm repeating myself and you think, man, this is getting a little old, then just allow the Holy Spirit to continue to talk to you and continue to remember that we go united as one in where God is taking us. So let's quickly just have a look at where we've been. Week one, we focused on Jesus, on the parable that Jesus said and spoke about the wise man. We built a house on the rock, or the one that built his house on the sand. We saw that they had the same vision, same teaching, the same storm with two different results because the foundations that they built their house on was different. And then Dave Reardon spoke a couple of weeks after that and literally shared that it's only when we have a storm that we know what the foundations are that we're built upon. In week two, we looked at Jesus being our cornerstone. We saw that the cornerstone is the reference point for every building, and it's from that cornerstone that every other stone is laid. And again, Jesus is our cornerstone. We are the living stones, the Bible says, and that we are building ourselves upon Jesus, our reference point. Week three, we looked at the principle of sowing and reaping. We looked at being and what is the result. What we are today is the result of what we've lived in the past, how we've lived in the past, the choices we've made, what we've been thinking. And again, as we look at the fruit of our lives, we will know what the foundation is of our lives. Then in week four, we had that great baby dedication where we saw five beautiful babies being dedicated. And I used a whole sermon to talk about laying foundations in raising children. And I used this statement to sum up what I think everyone needs to know about raising children. As God relates to us as His children, so we must relate to our children. And I think that's an incredibly important little pithy statement that you can think about. As God relates to us as His children, so we must relate to our children. And then the week before last, I felt that we were maybe bogging a few people down, and there was a few people being condemned or feeling as though they were not going to make it because of the foundations that had been either laid in their lives or that they had laid themselves, and that they were literally being discouraged. And so I talked about wiping the dust off our feet, getting rid of that wedge of discouragement, knowing that we can move on and build new foundations, lay new foundations, underpin, re-block our house, as it were. And so this morning, sorry, I didn't put that slide up. This morning, I want to talk about what is your foundation. Now, again, as I say, it might sound like a repeat, but I want you to listen to it in a different way. I want you to try and grab it in a different way, because there might be a few things in this morning's service that you find a bit controversial, that you might not even agree with. I'm sitting here with Pastor Hal in front of me, wondering what he's going to write on his white card. Got Dr. Peck down here who's going to be critiquing me. Pastor Dave over there critiquing me. I'm in trouble. And of course, I've got Chris down the front row. And oh dear, what a weight, what a burden I carry. So, look at these foundations. Now, this is in Spring Street. And to get an understanding of foundations and footings, you've got to really look into it. I don't know about you, but when I look at photos, when I look at films, oftentimes I don't look at the front, I look at what's at the back. Look at the size of the digger, the excavator. And you'll see on the right-hand side, not very clear for you, but on the right-hand side, a pad of concrete right in the middle there, and it's starting to get some Rio in it. That's what that building really looks like from the air. And again, a foundation, big foundation. I'll go back, sorry. This is Eastland, the new Eastland, where they did their extension. And again, look at the depth. Look at the steel Rio. Look at the footings that have been dug and poured. Just, ladies, have a good look. Jill, are you enjoying this?
No.
When Chris and I used to go and visit Pastor Hal and Jill up in Queensland, we'd go for a walk and Hal and I'd stop and look at bolts and look at bridges and look at construction. And Jill and Chris went shopping looking at sequin dresses. So this is not boring, Jill. This is good. It is excellent. Thank you. Look at the bolts, Jill. Look at the steel, Jill. Are you getting it? Okay, this is Eastland again. A little bit dark, I'm sorry, but you can start to see just incredible amount of foundations and footings and steel Rio. It's just wonderful, Jill. And then this is the new underground tunnel, Jill. You would know that, wouldn't you? Yes, that's good. Just say yes. Just keep nodding yes. This is the city square. I had some of my sleuths walk around the city taking some photos for me. It's just exciting. How many are excited about these pictures? All the men. Ladies, hang in there. And now look at that one. This is one you can go, wow. Again, an amazing photo. We should stop there because I think you've got it already. It's just a whole lot of holes, a whole lot of stuff. Some clever engineer, Hamish, where are you? Some clever engineer, Hamish. That's a joke. When Hamish came onto eldership, it just so happened that the time that Hamish came onto eldership. So can I tell this story, Hamish? Of course I can. Who wants to hear the story about Hamish? Yeah. We were putting up the cross and Hamish came onto eldership and we were just talking about it. And of course, Hamish, being an engineer and a good one at that, wanted to look at all the plans to make certain that the footings were going to be strong enough for that cross. Are they strong enough, Hamish? They're great. They're great, yeah, of course. Nobody can see them, can they? That's the problem with footings and foundations. But anyhow, some incredibly clever engineer has gone to a lot of work designing what is needed to make sure the structure that's going to be built will not only hold itself up, but is going to cope with the storms that will undoubtedly come. And again, this is really interesting. There's a picture of some of the plans, some of the footings. You'll see there's Rio, there's different size Rio, there's different size bars, there's different strength concrete. A whole lot of stuff goes into footings and foundations. However, there is one component that doesn't change. Anyone pick it? Wallace, are you bored? That's good. I just wanted to make certain that you're not bored down there. Don't fall asleep on me, Wallace. He wasn't, by the way. He was looking very intently. There is one component that never changes when you're building foundations, and that is the need for solid ground. Now, I know that someone's going to say, you come and build on sand, you can, but let's just hang in there. Basically, solid ground. So as we move forward in the series of Building Strong Foundations, I plan to look at, starting next week, the spiritual Rio, the the strength of concrete, all of the spiritual things that we need to add to the solid ground that we build upon. But unless we build on solid ground, we're never going to have a strong enough footing to handle the trials, the tribulations, the testings. And again, what Cindy said this morning in communion, wherever she turned, 360 degrees, they've been facing something. But she can stand here today and she can talk about what she's been facing on that 360 degree front, because her footing is solid. Her rock is solid. The ground that she has built her life upon is solid. And she shared that with us today. Foundations speak of the very core of our understanding of truth and life. Now, I'm going to give you a whole lot of little pithy statements. Listen to them. Grab them if you can. Download the notes if you want to, but just get an understanding of what I'm talking about this morning. Foundations speak of the very core of our understanding of truth and life. Our foundations are not what we say or what we think. Hear that? Our foundations are not what we say. They're not what we think. Our foundations are the reality of what makes us tick. As we've already seen, our foundations reveal to us the fruit, the lasting, eternal value that we build. And if the fruit is not good, then look at the foundation. Our foundations are what we are prepared to fight for. When you're having an argument with something about somebody, when you're having an argument with somebody about something, if you really believe what you're saying, then you will dig your toes in, you'll dig your feet in, and you will stand on solid ground, and you will argue your case because you know that you know that you know that you're right. And I know how that works, because Chris is always right when we have a discussion at home. She digs her feet in and that's it. I know that I've lost. So the foundations that we are prepared to fight for reveal a little bit about us. Our foundations determine how and what we do with our time, our life, our resources. Our foundations are the lens that we look through to understand the meaning of everything. And again, you'll understand that when I move on in a little bit more. If you can look through the lens of your foundation and understand where you're going, then you'll know what I mean. Now, apart from you who have been listening to this series, I think I'd be correct in stating that very few people have a consciousness or an understanding of what their foundations really are. They've probably never been asked to articulate. They've probably been not asked to tell you what they really stand on. Yet they think they know. But do they really know? Many would believe that they had such and such a foundation, but in reality, do they? Many have allowed themselves to be indoctrinated by somebody else's foundation. People teach us, the sieves that we grow up in. You know, I grew up in the Methodist Church. I have a foundation from that that, to a lot of degree, I've had to underpin, had to re-block, because it was coming through a guy, a minister, who didn't even believe that Satan existed, who had a totally different concept of the Bible to what we have in this place. He was building a social justice church, and I don't think Jesus had much to do with it. And that's judgmental, but it's true. And that was the foundation that I was growing up in. I was being indoctrinated by his teaching, by his understanding. Unfortunately, many continue to go happily along with the foundations that have been laid in their lives or the indoctrination that they've received without ever bothering to question it, to look at it, or to even own it for themselves. Hence, I ask the question, what is your foundation? In Colossians 2, 6 to 9, it says this, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built upon him. And then it says this, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the fundamental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. In short, you got a choice here. You can be building your life upon the indoctrination of somebody else and their teaching. And in this case, it says, philosophy and empty deceit, human tradition, according to the fundamental spirits of the world. Or you can be building your life upon Christ and upon everything that we know he teaches. So this morning, let's take some time to examine our own lives, to make sure that we not only know what our foundation is, but we also examine whether we're really believing and building our lives on that foundation. Now again, that might sound really simple. Graham, why are you asking this again? Why are you repeating yourself again? Why are you continually coming back when you've told us that Jesus is our rock, that Jesus is our cornerstone, that Jesus is the solid sand that we build our lives on? Because I have a gut feel that there's an awful lot of people that have that in their head, but not in their heart. They say they're building their life on Christ, but are they? So what is your life foundation? Are you really standing on solid ground? This morning, I want to offer you what I believe to be the only lasting, solid foundation. Not hard to guess, is it? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our only lasting, solid foundation that we can build our lives on. Now, again, you're sitting there thinking, Graham, this is a bit stupid. This is a bit simple that you just keep repeating yourself. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that I was going to say Jesus. But again, I say to you, don't be too quick in assuming that Jesus is your true foundation. See, as I started to meditate on this sermon, as I reflected on it, as I wrote it and then rewrote it and then reread it and meditated on it, I realized something. That in times past, I would have automatically said that Jesus was my foundation. But truthfully, in hindsight, I don't think that that would have been an accurate assessment. Even today, right now, I'm quite aware that though I declare Jesus to be my foundation, often my living, the struggles I face, would not reflect that I have Jesus as my foundation. You getting it? John 14, 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The way of life in this verse is not a system. It's not something that we do by rote. It's not a formula that we can repeat knowing that we're going to get an answer. This way of life that Jesus is talking about in this verse is a relationship. It's knowing and having Jesus as your friend. It's a relationship with him. It's you and him walking together. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? The truth that is spoken about in this verse is Jesus living in me and Jesus living through me. So as a Christian, my true foundation should be Jesus. And I explain that by saying it should be my whole way of life with Jesus living through me. And so let's go back to what I said. When I said about myself, even today I'm quite aware that though I declare Jesus to be my foundation, often my living would not reflect this. Is Jesus your whole way of life? Is Jesus living through you? Would Jesus be happy in you declaring him as your foundation with what he sees you doing? Are you listening to Jesus via his Holy Spirit guide you and lead you? Or is it just something that you're saying with your head? See, our energy, our motivation for living, for everything that we do, should come through the abiding presence of Jesus. Now, we say these words so quick. We sing songs so quickly. You know, I wonder how long, how often we reflect on whether it's truth or not. In Christ alone, we sing. But is it Christ alone? You see, if Jesus was our whole way of life, and everything that we did was reflecting through him, then we wouldn't be experiencing the struggles that we face with the results that we often see. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have storms. It doesn't mean that we don't have trials and tribulations. It doesn't mean that we don't have 360-degree enemies coming at us. But when Jesus is in us and we are reflecting him and we are standing on him, then as Cindy so clearly stated, we start to use the keys that we've been given. We start to exercise the authority that we've been given. His word starts to become real in our lives. We start to reflect on the armor, start to reflect on greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But when the things around us start to lay us down, then maybe it's because Jesus really isn't your foundation. Maybe it's because you're not allowing him to be your foundation. How many people... I want to see hands today. How many people would say the Bible is their foundation? How many people wouldn't say the Bible is their foundation? So the ones that didn't put up their hand don't know, or they're afraid of getting it wrong. You ready, Pastor Oxy? The Bible isn't my foundation. How'd I go, Dave? Not good? Dr. Doug? Not good? Pastor Oxy would say scripture and verse. Pastor Oxy would tell me, what does the Bible say? I've got a great scripture. From Jesus himself, John 5:39-40 says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Yet it is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. See, eternal life doesn't come from how much you know the Bible. Eternal life comes from your relationship with Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our hope for change. The Bible shows me how to change. Of course, we could split hairs. Jesus is the Word is the Word of God, etc., etc. We could do all of that, but I think you know where I'm going. Learning and applying Scripture is an incredibly important thing to do. However, without a foundational relationship with Jesus, we're not going to be much different to the Pharisees that Jesus was talking to then. Yes, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Yes, the Bible is crucial to our lives. More than ever, we need it taught. More than ever, we need to understand it. More than ever, we need to apply it to our lives. But it's not our foundation. It is the Bible that we find the true foundation revealed. The Bible directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The law in Scripture reveals our need for Jesus. The bulk of Scripture reveals God. However, it's only when we learn to focus and abide in Jesus that we will change. Hear me. It's only when we learn to focus, to stand, to abide in Jesus that we will change. It's when we allow Jesus to be our foundation. It's when we start relating to Him that we begin to be changed into His likeness. I know this for a fact. And again, I'm not saying experience is the Word of God, but it is my experience right now. Because when I first moved into Bible college, and you got to know that I had an awful lot of stuff hanging on my life, I tried to change through knowledge. I tried to change through Christian principles. I tried to change by quoting Scripture, by memorizing Scripture, by making the Word of God, as in the Bible, what I needed to do. I was looking for a formula, because formulas worked for me. In my training as an engineer, I had formulas that I used and it worked. I know that when I was machining or when I was welding something, it worked if I did what I was taught to do. Yet unfortunately, there was no lasting fruit. I would see an outworking because I applied a formula, but it wasn't long before I was struggling with the same things again. It was only when I started to build a relationship with Jesus, when I became secure in His love, when I became secure enough to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Even though I didn't understand, when I allowed Jesus to lead me, when I filtered things through Jesus and His life, then I started to see change take place. For me, it was learning to live a life dependent on Jesus. Learning to live a life dependent on His Spirit, which He gave us to help us walk the walk that we've got to walk until He returns again. So I can't overemphasize enough this morning the significance of making Jesus, making the person of Jesus, your foundation. You see, our flesh default is set to do what we want to do. And often, because of that, it becomes self-effort, leading to a life of exhaustion and apathy, both individually and in the church. And we see that in the church so often. Not this church, thank goodness. However, when we have Christ, when we have Jesus as our foundation, when we're allowing ourselves to relate to Him and Him to lead and Him to guide us, then we don't have exhaustion, we don't have apathy. We have energy. We have life. We have an incredible sense of excitement. Jesus is our hope for change. And we can rest on the fact that Jesus said that he will build his church. Chris and I went last week and saw the film Paul the Apostle. And I recommend it to you if you haven't seen it. It's in the same ilk as The Passion of the Christ. I'm not going to give you the ending. I'm not going to tell you much about it, but I say it will make you think. And don't take kids to it. It is an M-rated film, and for every reason that it is. But it made me think about Paul. And just as much as The Passion of Christ made me really reflect on an unsanitized view of what Jesus went through when he went to the cross, this film really depicts the life of Paul in an unsanitized way. You see him in jail. You see him being belted and whipped. You see persecution in Roman times. The Apostle Paul was consumed with Christ being his foundation. Yet that wasn't always Paul's way. Paul formally used religion as a way to reinforce his self-foundation, as a way to display his own strength. Then, meeting the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, building a relationship with him, changed his life. From that point on, everything that Paul did was to get to know the Lord more personally and to reflect him outwardly. 180-degree turn. He said that he wanted Jesus to be found in him. I wonder how many of you would say that. I wonder whether they see Jesus in me when they look at me at work. I wonder whether the person I meet in the street sees Jesus in me. I wonder whether my neighbours would see Jesus in the way I live. Paul's identity was no longer based on himself or his work, but it was based on the work of Christ. Paul later wrote that he glorified in his weakness. What a change. Instead of his self-importance, it was now he glorified in his weakness. Because he said when he was weak, he was dependent. And when he was dependent, then he experienced the strength of Christ. When we relate to Christ, when we lay our lives on Christ, when we allow him to work through us, then our weaknesses are not weaknesses anymore. Because when we're weak, we become strong. Paul, he found a new foundation in Jesus. So making Jesus our foundation is more than words. What I'm talking about in this sermon this morning, in this message this morning, when I ask you the question, what is your foundation? What I'm saying is, let Jesus become your lifestyle. In life, we all make plans. We all make choices. We all have a vision. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's fantastic. Just do it through the filter of Jesus as your foundation. I can honestly say to you, with Jesus, it becomes a whole lot easier. No more agendas, no more my money, no more my life, no more my time. As Jesus said to his Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And so, when I ask you what is your foundation, I want you to know that abiding in Christ I think, is the only foundation that you can trust in. The only foundation that you can be sure of. The only foundation when the 360 storms come, you know that at the end you'll still be standing and the storms will be all gone. So what is your foundation? If you can't honestly say Jesus, then ask yourself why not. Dan, Andy, can we have a foundation song? You pick it. I always get it wrong, so they can get it right. And if you get it wrong, I'll tell you. If you can't honestly say Jesus, then I'm going to ask you to say, why not? Is it because you're insecure? Is it because you really don't know how much Jesus loves you? How much he's got your best interest at heart? Could it be that you've got fear? You've tried before. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Got to let go to let God. It's like that person hanging on a rope over the cliff and somebody down below with a net to jump into. To jump into the safety net, you've got to let go of the rope that's holding you. What are you holding on to that's stopping you from falling into Jesus' arms? Could it be your works? Could it be that you just don't want to change? Some people just don't want to change. You know, I gave my life to Christ. I know I'm going to heaven. That's all I wanted. I didn't ask for the rest. I just wanted that. That's not enough, I don't think. Could it be that you've got self on the throne? I think we've all got self on the throne, so we can put our tick to all of that. This morning, as we close, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing this song, and I'm just going to ask you to reflect on what is your foundation. If you feel as though you have a blockage, if you feel as though there's something in your life that's stopping you, that's robbing you, that is hindering you from being able to make that step, and you've done it before and it's not worked, come out, let us pray for you. But let's today use those keys that Cindy talked about, and let's break free. Let's today move as a church with Jesus being our foundation, the person that we relate to, so that I can move on next week to talk about spiritual reinforcement and strength of cement and all of those good things. This is a good thing, by the way.